Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. St. Paul has written that the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ came to save sinners. Our Old Testament reading today is found among the oracles of restoration and comfort within Ezekiel's prophecy. Though God himself would in 586 BC scatter his flock among the nations on a day of clouds and thick darkness, nevertheless, they would never stop being his flock, and he would always know exactly where they were. Having committed himself to personally shepherding his flock, he soon would deal with the faithless shepherds of Israel and those they had led astray. Further back in the book of Ezekiel, in Ezekiel's prophecy, Ezekiel says, "Thus says the Lord God, disaster after disaster, behold, it comes. An end has come, the end has come. It has awakened against you, O inhabitant of the land. The time has come, the day is near, a day of tumult and not of joyful shouting on the mountains. Now I shall pour out my wrath upon you and spend my anger against you and judge you according to your ways. And I will punish you for all your abominations." Thus far the reading. In these things, Ezekiel prophesies of the destruction of Jerusalem. Over and over again, the Lord repeats that he will repay Israel according to their abominations, according to their detestable practices. You know, those things that people do when they think God's not looking. And yet in today's reading, he speaks words of peace and restoration to those who strive to remain faithful and to those who repent of their sin. As Ezekiel prophesies of these things, he points to and through that day of clouds and thick darkness for Jerusalem, and he points to the last day, the last and glorious day when God will gather all his people from every country and bring them into their own land, where he himself will feed them and rest them in good pasture. When I consider these things in light of Jesus' parables today, I hear two things going on. The first thing I hear is that when we do our own thing, when we reject God's will to go our own way, we all like sheep go astray, as the prophet Isaiah has spoken. And the second thing I hear is that once we go that way, once we do that, we can get so lost that we can't find our way back, even if we wanted to. Have you ever noticed how some animals make it their goal to find a hole or some weakness in the fence, just to get free, or what they perceive as freedom? I have a dog that does that. And have you noticed how they can't seem to find their way back in? They can get out just fine, but they can't find their way back in. In our gospel reading today, I hear Jesus talking about the danger of abusing our free will. We believe, teach, and confess that we cannot by our own reason or strength come to God. And so by fault, when we exercise our free will, when we say we can do whatever we want and say no to God, just so we can do what we want, we wander away from him. And the longer we wander, the longer we demand our own way, even if it is contrary to his way, we wander farther and farther away from him. And the farther we wander, the harder it is to find our way back. Eventually, maybe even impossible to find our way back to him. One can become like a lifeless coin lost between the cushions of an old couch, completely unable to do anything about its lostness, and completely unaware that it even has an owner. And so when the couch finally wears out, on the day when the couch gets tossed out, the coins lost between the couch are tossed out with it. So in our gospel reading today, Jesus earnestly searches after the lost. And when he finds them, he rejoices with them. He sits and he eats with them. He eats with sinners and tax collectors. While those whose hearts remain lost, those whose hearts remain hard and cold, stand out in the outer darkness and scoff. They scoff, "This man receives sinners and even eats with them." Through the words of Ezekiel And with his own words, Jesus rebukes unfaithful under-shepherds of his flock. Have you ever heard the old saying, do as I say, not as I do? It's not something we usually say of ourselves, but it is a behavior that tempts every one of us. The leaders of God's people would say one thing and they would do another. In the time of Ezekiel, as in Jesus' time, also in our time, leaders of God's people drink of the most pure water when they drink of the streams of the truth of God's word. But to participate in or approve of the evil behaviors of the world is to corrupt their study of God's word. For evil actions speak louder than words, so that those under their care no longer follow the words they speak, but they follow the bad examples they see. For those whom Ezekiel rebuked, they had not settled for just taking the best and the first. They also trampled underfoot and fouled what was left. Translation, they spoke of God's holiness. They spoke of God's justice and God's mercy, but their lives did not reflect the same. Those with power and influence didn't just take the best for themselves. They had to destroy whatever was left, leaving the poor and the sick and the injured with nothing, forcing them to be dependent upon the powerful, forcing them to follow in the evil examples of their leaders or perish. Have you ever witnessed the social system of an established bully? There are three basic groups in a bully system. There's a bully, usually pretty easy to identify. There are those who are bullied, also usually pretty easy to identify. And there are those I refer to as toadies. This person has learned the survival skill of supporting whatever the bully says or does, finding this behavior far less painful than standing up for what is right. They play along rather than pushing back, even if it means rejecting or harming someone they once cared about. The bullies in our readings today are the powerful with their presumption of pride. Like cattle fighting their way to the feed trough, they push aside the weak, bullying and injuring. These pushed aside, these are those who try to remain faithful. They are the lean sheep of whom Ezekiel speaks. These are the bullied. And the toadies? These are they who have learned the survival skill of flying right under the radar. They follow the evil examples of those in power. They support the bully. They cheer the bully. They do whatever the bully says, whatever the bully deems to be socially acceptable, placing themselves under the mercy of the bully. But as we've said before, evil knows no mercy. And as the Lord has spoken through Ezekiel, as he has shown through his confrontation with the Pharisees and the scribes, so also this date of September 11 will forever admonish us, God's people, to stand up together against evil and against oppression. For as history shows, the social system of bullying is not limited to school children on the playground or at the park, but as our scriptures clearly show, bullying has made its way into every level of the human experience. In the book of Matthew, Jesus admonished his disciples, saying to them, "Have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in dark, say in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot harm the soul." In our time, as in times of Jesus and Ezekiel, there are bullies in our midst. Those who say, follow evil or perish. In this system, Christians find themselves bullied into making a choice. Become a toady or become a victim. As in the days of old, the flock, the Christian church, those who strive to remain faithful to God and his word are in constant danger of being scattered. Evil challenges saying, follow or perish. We hear news of brothers and sisters in Christ, whole denominations being divided over social evils, and the world seems to rejoice while Christians grieve. But Jesus says to us, as he said to his disciples, lest we be discouraged. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. The way I translate that, it ain't over till it's over. So let us encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ to remain faithful. Let us remind them that the division of a congregation, the division of a denomination over social evil is not a lost battle for those who stand with God and his word. The battle rages on. And as the Lord himself reminds us in our readings today, he himself goes after those who have strayed. He knows right where they are. He goes after the weak and the injured. He goes after the lost. For he alone is strong enough to bring them home, and he won't rest until he has done so. So let us grieve with our brothers and sisters in Christ, those whose congregations are torn in two by evil. Let us grieve with those whose loved ones have strayed. Let us offer comfort, and not just empty words of hope, oh, it'll be okay. Let's offer God's promise that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, and he is powerful enough to do so. And as we consider these things today, as we hear Jesus rebuke evil men, as God himself receives sinners, let us also stand on God's holy word. For in it, he reminds us of another battle perceived as lost, a battle over which evil rejoiced while Christians grieved. Another day of clouds and thick darkness. It was high noon, and there was darkness over the whole land until 3 p.m, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus called out in a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. But that wasn't the end of the story. 3 days later, he is risen. You know, we do that at Easter. Is it okay to do that on September 11th? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Yes, indeed. He is risen indeed. It ain't over till it's over, folks. Until the day Jesus returns. The day to which our readings ultimately point. Another day of clouds and thick darkness. Until the day Christ returns in glory, there will always be bullies. There will always be battles that some perceive as lost, but it ain't over till it's over. God has set up one shepherd, a ruler like David, a servant king from David's line, and his name is Jesus, and he will shepherd his flock. Jesus, the good shepherd, brings restoration to a world weary with sin. He goes after those who are lost until he finds them. And when he finds them, he will lift them up from whatever pit or snare into which they have fallen. And he will bring them home with much rejoicing. For the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ came into the world to save sinners. It ain't over till it's over. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.